You're tuned into the audio channel from scorenotes.com. Enjoy the show.
Jason, thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your schedule to sit down with us. How's everything going on your end?
Tom, nice to speak with you. Everything's going great. Thanks.
It's certainly a lot of activity going on right now in your life. And first up, I'd just like to ask you what it was like to return to the universe of Dead Space, and what was your overall game plan for attacking a sequel score for it?
You know, that's actually a really good question, because I was wondering the same thing. As soon as there were rumors circulating of a Dead Space 2 coming out, I thought, what's it going to be like to go back and, you know, kind of try to do all that again, but still have it be different and better, but not so different that, you know, it doesn't sound like Dead Space. It was definitely a challenge not to really get in the headspace, because if anyone's seen the demo of Dead Space 2, I mean, it's completely immersive, just like the first game. So the challenge for me was more, you know, I could do dark and dissonant and stay in the Dead Space universe, no problem whatsoever. What I really wanted to do was just to improve the overall aesthetics of the music in the game. And that's both kind of how the music is recorded and performed by the orchestra, and also how it was implemented into the game. So it was kind of the two-pronged approach I was taking for the score. You know, it takes place on the Sprawl, which is this giant, you know, epic landscape. It's kind of the antithesis of the Ishimura, which was, you know, small, claustrophobic. You're in these little tiny hallways all the time. You go out in space occasionally, but for the most part, it was all about claustrophobia and paranoia. So I thought with the music, you know, the music needed to be bigger and more epic somehow, but still sound like Dead Space. And one of the ways I thought that would work really well is if I used some music that was very small and intimate, and quiet almost. And there was this great character arc that Isaac goes through, and he's got this kind of mental illness throughout the game. So I used this small string quartet, just four players, to portray Isaac himself. And then I used a really big orchestra and added even more instruments than I did for the first Dead Space for my, you know, giant musical necromorph, so to speak. So having the contrast of those two ensembles, I think, makes the score seem even more epic than it would be if you had, you know, loud music playing the whole entire time. It's the diversity that helps break it up and makes things seem more extreme. At least that's my theory. That was my theory going into the production of the score.
Well, it was a theory that seemed to have been proven, because that quartet was a nice touch, and it's another example of bigger doesn't always equate to epic. Sometimes, as you mentioned, the smaller touches that catapult a score to that next level. So just want to compliment you on that.
Oh, well, thanks. It was definitely, you know, writing for string quartet isn't something you can just do. I mean, it's not the same. It requires a lot more attention to detail than even some of those big combat tracks, as simple as they sound. Because you've only got four voices. There's nowhere for anyone to hide. And, you know, if you do it wrong, it sticks out like a sore thumb. I mean, it's just completely obvious. So I spent a lot of time on that, and I really love the idea of having this kind of dark yet beautiful music. That's another aspect that I was hoping EA would go for when we started recording the music for the quartet, and they ate it up. They thought it was great. But you never know. I mean, sometimes, you know, a game developer kind of raised their eyebrows and go, well, this isn't a soap opera. Why would we want to have this music? But they loved it. And it plays really, really well under some of the key cinematics that are, you know, kind of game changers for Isaac throughout the game. Sorry for the pun.
No problem. Yeah, and yeah, I can envision the type of impact that would have when that music meets the gameplay. So that's terrific. And I'd just also like to talk about expectations going into this one. Given the craftsmanship and expert audio integration with the first installment, did you have any pressure that you felt going into the sequel opportunity?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the pressure from the first one was pretty much all on myself. I mean, once we had the established tone, EA or the audio director just kind of said, well, you know, whatever you want to do is great, go ahead. And I'd send them stuff, and every once in a while there'd be a tweak here and there, but I was putting so much pressure on myself because I didn't know the game would be as big of a hit as it was, but I knew it was something different, and I had no idea the music would get any attention, but I did know that I was doing something different for myself, personally, so I wanted it to be as good as it could possibly be. Now, going into the second one, geez, you know, going back to all the original kind of setting the bar really high for myself issues, but this time around, I knew I wanted the music to be, like, from a compositional standpoint, like, less chaotic. You know, the first Dead Space, I was exactly where Isaac was. You know, I didn't really know what was going on. I was unproven in all these little tricks and things I was trying to do to get the orchestra to play these effects. I wasn't sure if it would work, and I didn't really know what the end result would be. And now with the second one, it's, you know, it's kind of a, okay, well, been there, done that. So I know what works, I know what doesn't work, and I've got a lot more certainty just as a music editor composer, which is kind of what I do with Dead Space, because you've got to record all these crazy effects first, and then I go back to my studio, cut them up, and kind of put them into these pieces that I'm composing. So I wanted there to be, like, less reverb. I wanted the orchestra to be more up front in your speakers, like almost like it was kind of reaching out and grabbing you. And I wanted there to be more interactivity with the stems. It seemed like there were just times in the first game that it could have been more subtle, not in a less scary way, just more subtle in a I can hear the music switching kind of way. So from a technical standpoint, the great thing was EA had the exact same ideas, and they also had doubled the bandwidth for their music streaming. So in the first one, we had 4 streams of music we could play, you know, and throw in stingers from RAM occasionally. And in the second game, we had 8. So, I mean, it was literally double the amount of control over all the music. And then they let me do aesthetically whatever I wanted. I sent them some original mixes, a lot more dry, a lot more upfront and in-your-face and aggressive. And they really liked it. So, I mean, it really was like a best-case scenario where they kind of let me do whatever I wanted, and they ended up liking it. So it makes that for a very creatively satisfying music experience. You know, I didn't want it to end when it was finally finished.
Wow, that's quite a testimonial to that experience, and that's absolutely great to hear. And what I found really cool about it is, you know, you get the game players who are not typical soundtrack fans. I know I've had some friends who said, wow, the composer of that video game, Dead Space, really knew what he was doing because they were really engaged by the music. So what's it like for you to get that kind of feedback from just the game players who recognize what went into the music and what went into the audio?
Any sort of recognition is always wonderful to hear. I mean, especially, and I don't want to sound like I'm belittling any kind of awards, you know, whether they're BAFTAs or anything else from anywhere in the world, but for me personally, hearing that players really appreciate, like, one scene in the game or some comment on my website or on Facebook or something saying, oh, that's that one part where the blah, blah, blah music started, it just scared me to death and I had to stop playing the game for 5 minutes. That's why I'm doing this, you know? I'm trying every day. I mean, it was Dead Space 2 for the last 18 months, but, you know, every day for me, it's like, how can I make whatever this one situation is I'm working on, you know, you're running for your life and you don't have any weapons or whatever, how can I make that, like, the most immersive gameplay experience where the player can't even imagine what it would be like without the music, because the music is what seals the deal, right? You've got all these scary graphics and images and sound effects, but the music is like what totally puts like that fresh coat of paint on it and makes it like absolutely perfect. So for me, that's really what it's all about. It's about what the players like, and especially if there's folks that are listening to the album separate from the game, you know, as a standalone music experience. I mean, that's kind of a win-win scenario for me. If it works great in the game, and they love to listen to it on its own.
And I'd also like to ask you, you know, you mentioned you worked on Dead Space 2 for 18 months. Does the darkness take a toll on you creatively? I know you're dealing with some dark themes. Just what's that like for you, that stretch of time?
It's not necessarily that it takes its toll on me. I think it's more, I mean, taking its toll, like, bringing me down. The first one really did. I think I wasn't prepared for it. And the score itself was so kind of chaotic and visceral that a lot of times, you know, just listening, I mean, having to compose that top layer when a necromorph is giving you a big hug and chewing on your neck, you know, with crazy strings or brass or whatever, I just have to shut it off for like an hour and kind of come back and listen to it again. Now, I don't know if I've developed a thicker skin this time around. That's probably part of it. I think another part of it is, since there's a little more of an action edge to Dead Space 2 in the game and the score, there's a tiny bit more musicality, just a couple of notes here and there for me to be able to kind of hang my hat on and identify it as quote-unquote music. And it's a lot more lean and kind of aggressive, and it's like a good boxer, you know, he gives you a stab and then he jumps back for a second, and then he gives you two more stabs and he jumps back for a second, and the first one was just kind of like constantly pounding on you. So I guess it seemed easier because I'd already done it once and I was kind of used to that world. Now, the one thing I can testify to is, you know, I didn't work on Dead Space 2 for 18 months solid. It'd be like a month here, 3 weeks off, 2 weeks here, a month off. You know, it was an on-again, off-again thing. I'd give them deliveries, they'd put it in the game, let me know how it worked, and then send me movies back of the music in the game, and I'd probably tweak some things. So, I had breaks in between, and, you know, I'm working on other projects at the same time, and I noticed that the longer I worked on Dead Space 2, the more often I'd get a comment back from a developer, you know, for a totally different game. We love the music, we think it sounds great, maybe not quite so dark for the next cue. I'm like, really? Do you think it's dark? And I listen to it, I'm like, I don't think that's dark at all. You know, I pull up something from the first Dead Space or the second one, it's like, that's dark. But then I go back and listen to, you know, maybe the main theme from the game that I'm working on that's not Dead Space. It's like, oh yeah, there are like chords, you know, like you can hear harmonies and melodies, and, you know, it's like I've become just bludgeoned to this, you know, non-pitch-centered, rhythmic kind of thing that is the world of Dead Space. The cool thing is, you know, it kind of grew out on its own while I was working on the first score and then now the second score. So it's kind of a part of me, but I have to, you know, I have to hold back when I'm working on other stuff because it's easy for me to go dark now. A lot easier than it was, you know, 4 years ago.
And related to Dead Space 2, can you describe some of the publicity stops that you'll have along the way? Is this kind of a press circuit taking foot for you here in the near future about Dead Space 2?
Well, I did two different kind of press-related things the second half of last year when I was kind of wrapping up the score. One was at EA, Redwood Shores in San Francisco, and we got this, what hopefully will be an informative interview about making the score that's going to be on the collector's edition of Dead Space 2. They've got a pressed soundtrack CD that includes a movie file, kind of behind the scenes. They interview me. We got video footage from the recording sessions and stuff like that. There's a couple of online places that have video interviews that I won't announce officially for fear of spoiling their surprises. And there's another publicity event that EA is doing. They're going to have a big press release in London with some kind of key players from the game. The art director, myself, the composer, people that worked on the comics, people that worked on the animated films, and we're going to have a bit of music premiered there as well, although I think that might be a secret. We'll have to wait and see.
Fair enough. And has the thought of a Dead Space movie entered your mind yet? And if so, how exciting a prospect would that be for you?
I know Hollywood's been kicking around the idea of a Dead Space movie, maybe a prequel or something like that. Obviously, if they did something, I would love to be involved. But, you know, I've been in Los Angeles, and I know how the game works, and I kind of know the rules. And a lot of it is relationships with directors. And the director's going to want to work with, you know, the composer he's worked with in the past, that he feels confident with and, you know, can trust basically, the identity of his music with. Now, who knows, maybe the director will want to do Dead Space and loves the music from the second one or the first one so much that he wants me to do it, and that sounds totally awesome. I'd be on board 100%. But I don't have any premature hopes. I would love to do it, of course. But, you know, I'm not a Hollywood film composer, kind of on purpose. I love games and the creative aspect that that they allow me from music. But, of course, I would love to do a Dead Space film.
Yeah, and I think the relationship here is the excellent music you've done to help this game franchise be what it is today. You know, if it takes that step to the movies, they'd be hard-pressed to make an argument against having you on board, because that's the level of impact that your music has made with gamers across the board. So
I really appreciate that. And for me, I mean, that's where I started. I was in L.A. for a long time doing reality television and ghostwriting for films and doing lots of movie trailers and commercials. And really, I feel like I'm going home again when I do these cinematics, especially for Dead Space 2. There were some great kind of plot twists and turns in the cinematics, and I was able to score them. And it's just so rewarding, you know, to watch a scene that's a minute and a half long without any music and then put your score underneath it, and it really amps up the emotional value of what's going on. So it would be a blast, that's for sure.
Indeed. And as we look ahead to the, you know, we're early, very early in the year right now, what does 2011 look like for you thus far?
Nice and busy, that's for sure. With games, you know, I'm always not at liberty to speak about specific projects and titles and things like that, but there's definitely, this seems to be the year of the sequels for me. I'm not really sure why, but there's a sci-fi game I'm doing that looks awesome. I just saw a play through of it last month. It's a big sci-fi sequel that I'm working on, and there's another kind of fantasy sequel that I just wrapped up. There's a really big franchise I'm amazingly excited about working on that, of course, you know, I still can't announce, but it's kind of a gritty, realistic survival kind of game. It's gonna be really, really great. And yeah, you know, I'm even doing some things outside of games, which is what keeps it fresh for me. You know, it's nice not to do combat music all the time. So I've got two independent films with folks I've known for a while. I'm working on, one's a thriller, of course, and another one's kind of a more, you know, mellow, emotional kind of drama thing. And then I'm also doing this concert piece that I was commissioned for about 6 months ago. So, you know, variety is the spice of life, especially when you're a composer.
Yeah, and you're not kidding when you said 2011's shaping up to be a busy one for you.
Yeah, definitely. But that's what's nice, is being able to, you know, kind of bounce back and forth between stuff. And I'm not stuck, I don't get stuck in a rut working on the same thing for a month. A lot of these deadlines are loose, so it's kind of like, well, let's see, I'll do this for the next couple of days, and then I'll go ahead and work on that, and keeps things fresh, keeps me interested.
Well, you definitely have a great flow going. You've made a huge impact in the gaming world with the musical contributions for Dead Space. And again, my compliments and my thanks for joining us today. It's always a pleasure to chat with you.
Oh, yeah, Tom. It is always a pleasure. Thank you.